podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, non-fiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Welcome to Book Hype, episode 40, also known as episode 1 of Marima and Friends, when Marima is abandoned by everyone and has to find new friends to record with. So I've found some new friends today. I have with me Christina.
Hi.
And Brittany.
Hi.
Yay, two lovely ladies from hyperball.com who are going to hang out with me today so I don't feel so alone and so you guys don't have to put up with my one-woman show. Which, I mean, you know, that's a blessing and a curse. What can we say? How is everyone today?
I'm doing well.
Busy. Yep, same here.
Yeah.
Tired, but good.
Cool. So super enthusiastic today. I'm glad to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's jump straight in. Let's try and at least keep up the, you know, appearance that this is a book hype episode. What have we been reading this week? Christina, do you want to kick that off?
Yeah, sure. I don't have much time to read multiple books at once, unless it's a textbook or something, but I just finished The Art Forger by B.A. Shapiro, and it is a great fiction novel. It was like one of the best of last year and completely engrossing. If you love art and painting and mystery, I highly recommend it. I was completely enthralled with it. I'm also reading Thrive by Arianna Huffington because I want to hear what she has to say about, you know, the world and everything like that. And I'm starting to read Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn in preparation for the movie. But I'm not sure how much I'll get into it just because it's not really the kind of book I usually read, but Ben Affleck's in the movie and I really want to see it.
I would say stick with Gone Girl. It's pretty great.
Yeah, okay. Gone Girl's fantastic.
Yeah, once you get into it.
Good to know.
Brittany, what about you?
So I'm about halfway through Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe by Benjamin Alier Science. So I am not very good with accented names.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah. And I really, really like it, mainly because it's a break from the young female heroine of a story. It's about two teenage boys, which I find really interesting to read. And so I'm really, really enjoying getting a completely different perspective in a YA book for the first time in a long time. And I am almost done, finally, with Everyone Wants to Be Me or Do Me by Tom Fitzgerald and Lorenzo Marquez, also known as Tom and Lorenzo or T-Lo. And they are fashion bloggers who are fabulous and opinionated. And they run their website, tomandlorenzo.com, where they break down like celebrity fashion and like just if they see someone on the street or red carpet rundowns, like stuff like that. But they also do these really like hilarious commentary, sort of like, so their Coachella posts, like anytime they see someone wearing boots, they just like comment like stank boot instead of like, you know, actually assessing their fashion. But this book is all about celebrity culture, and it's sort of like if you wake up in the morning, the first thing you need to tell yourself in the mirror is everybody either wants to be me or do me, and you can get through anything. And it's hilarious. And then I have started reading The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haden because everyone kept telling me I had to read it, and I found it for $1 at a thrift store. And I'm not really enjoying it, but I'm going to power through so I can, like, finally check it off of one of those, you know, 100 books you must read before you die lists move on with my life.
That always is on those lists. I don't like that book. So I wouldn't
really
encourage
not
you to continue.
I just, it's a checklist thing. Once I set my mind to it, I got to get the check. So.
Yeah. No, I can understand that. This is so good because everyone always complains that we don't have enough like scope of nonfiction and adult books. And it's like, guys, you've checked off all the boxes. And so now I can talk about three young adult books. I just finished Roomies by Sara Zahar and Tara Altobrando. And it's like written, you know, that kind of classic thing of an author does a character and they alternate their chapters. I did not love it. I probably wouldn't recommend that anyone else read it just because it was kind of dull. It was just sort of bland, and I feel like if you're going after that dual author, dual protagonist thing, there are better versions of it out there. So, you know, there wasn't anything like objectively wrong with it, but it just wasn't very exciting. And then I'm in the middle of two books, Guy in Real Life by Steve Brezhnev, which I am also not loving. So I don't know if I'll be pursuing that, which is sad because I definitely talked about earlier this year. I was really looking forward to this book coming out. But, you know, whatever, sometimes doesn't work out. And then I'm reading The Cracks in the Kingdom by Jacqueline Moriarty, which is the second book in her A Corner of White series. And I loved the first one, and I am loving the second one. I just need to find time to read it. And actually, I also started, what is it called? Careless People, Murder, Mayhem, and the Invention of the Great Gatsby by Sarah Churchwell. And it is so fantastic. It's about the Fitzgeralds and Gatsby and sort of the world around that time when it was written. And it has like the greatest cover that I've ever seen. I might have to tweet it out on the Book Hype account because it's just these two skulls dancing with saxophones. It's amazing.
Awesome.
So yeah, that's pretty great. So yeah, that's, I mean, it's sort of, it's a bit dense, but I think if you're into that kind of history thing and you're a bit of a nerd, like we all know that I am, I feel like you would like that. So yeah, I heard, who was ooing when I was talking about that? I heard someone.
Me.
Yeah. It sounds good, right?
Yeah, I'm very fast. I love the Fitzgeralds in that history.
Me too. I am such a weirdo about them. So yeah, that is what we have been reading. So don't forget, you can always check out our Riffle account to see what everyone is up with, and we'll make sure that these books get added when this episode comes out. So, Book Bites this week in what the F is happening news, a wildly popular Harry Styles fan fiction might be turned into a movie. And, you know, this is, I mean, we've seen this before with like 50 Shades of Grey, and we've seen authors that have come from fan fiction like Cassandra Clare. I don't know. What do you guys think about this? I'm really curious about what this means for sort of fan fiction in general. And we've talked about that a lot on this show, but this is kind of the first time that I guess something has been picked up that wasn't originally based on a book. And that's why it's so interesting to me. You guys have any thoughts about the fan fiction community and how this might affect it?
I think since it is an original story, it kind of leads more into just fiction. Like, it's not exactly fan fiction. You change the name and suddenly it's completely original. So that's just basically another book adaptation, which could lead to, I don't know, down the line, different fan fictions being picked up and more obscure authors maybe. But, you know, whatever floats your boat. Not a Harry Styles fan, so I can't really speak to the story, but hey, good for them.
Yeah. Brittany, what about you?
I don't know. I feel like with just because of Harry Styles' name being connected to it, like, it would be fine if this got picked up in a different type of like forum where it wasn't admitted that it was fan fiction and the story was interesting enough that it would be completely different in my mind. But it's the Harry Styles that's throwing me off, because now it's whenever anyone goes to like see it or they know about it, it's like, oh, this should be Harry Styles. And what they're going to take away from it is like, well, did he really act like Harry Styles? Like, was this like really to a T? Like, I feel like it's going to like obscure what the new story is telling, as opposed to like being completely, completely original.
Yeah.
So I would always go in with that kind of mindset. That's just me though. Like, I don't know.
No, I can see what you're saying. So the fan fiction is called After, and it's by Anna Todd. And there have been three. There's After, After 2, and After 3. Super creative titles. You know what? She has like 300 million readers, so I guess it's working for her. And the synopsis for the first book is, this is great, Tessa Young is an 18-year-old college student with a simple life, excellent grades, and a sweet boyfriend. She always has things planned out ahead of time until she meets a rude boy named Harry with too many tattoos and piercings who shatters her plans. So, I mean, I just find this hilarious, as you may be able to tell from my voice. And, like, I feel like, Christina, that's a fair point about it being sort of fiction. And I guess, like, we've sort of disagreed about this in the past on this podcast about fiction being used as a as an avenue for exploring, you know, writing, kind of using someone else's characters or story. But, you know, I guess if it's a real person fan fiction, you're not really using someone else's characters or even their world building. You're kind of relying on your own, and you've just tapped into this fan base that already exists. So, well, yeah. No, go
sorry,
ahead.
Just one more quick. I'm sure Harry Styles' lawyer is going to be all over that, because that could be, depending on how he's portrayed, it could be defamation of character, libel, stuff like that. So getting into legal stuff now too.
Right. I mean, they definitely are not going to be allowed to use any of the names when they're doing it. But I mean, like you said, if they change all of the names, it's just another original story that, someone's thought of. So I don't know. There's a lot of big issues with copyright when it comes to fan fiction. And I guess I'm more interested to see, like, the film is nuts. If it goes ahead, good for that girl. She'll make a lot of money. But I'm more interested to see if this will channel into more fan fiction that goes into books, because I feel like that has sort of slowed down a little bit. And also I feel like that has mainly come out of, like I said, fan fiction that is based on books, not this kind of thing that's like real person fan fiction getting turned into, I guess, just like straight up literature. So yeah, interesting. I mean, it hasn't been picked up or anything, so, you know, they're just talking about it. So we'll keep you updated. Do you guys have anything else to say about that?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a funny thing, isn't it? It's just a strange thing. So we're going to do a bit of a new show for you today. We're going to be talking about the Allegiance split and some Fault in Our Stars news. Before we get into that, I just want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you the chance to try out their service. So one audiobook that Book Hype listeners might want to check out is Half Bad by Sally Green. And this is the first book in her Half-Life series. And it's the book that we're going to be discussing for our April book club, so next week. So if you download it this week, you can listen to it. You can send us your feedback. Let us know what you think. And then, you know, you might want to check out the next book when it comes out. So Half Bad is about one boy's struggle for survival in a hidden society of witches. And the synopsis reads, "You can't read, can't write, but you heal fast, even for a witch. You get sick if you stay indoors after dark. You hate white witches, but love Annalise, who is one. You've been kept in a cage since you were 14. All you've got to do is escape and find Mercury, the black witch, who eats boys, and do that before your 17th birthday." So we have a male protagonist, we have witches, it's all very cool. So we're going to be talking about that next week. So you can get a book like Half Bad or another audiobook of your choice by going to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. That's audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. And we thank Audible for their support of the show. So news time. Surprising no one, Allegiant is going to be split into two movies. Before we get into this, I just need to do a quick quiz. So you guys have both read Allegiant, obviously. Mm-hmm. And what did you think of it? Did you like it or did you hate it?
Okay. When Hypable was thinking about doing April Fool's Day posts, I suggested this as one of them. And Andrew was like, but that might become reality. So let's hold off on it. And let me just say, I'm very disappointed it came true.
Yeah.
Reading the book, you know, I know we're going to talk about this in a second, but there's no place to split it. It's like one story. It's not two stories. It's not like Harry Potter or Hunger Games or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, no, I do. Brittany, what about you?
Well, I didn't like the third book, so I'm already dreading that I have to sit through two movies to get through it, but of course I'll still go and see it. I don't know. I feel like it drags a little bit too much to where with Harry Potter, like, I still refer to the split in the first movie as like, okay, so there's the camping, like, first half, and then there's the action second half. And I feel like with this book, you're going to have little spurts in between, but you're still going to have such long periods of just drag and explanation, and you have to get through, like, okay, so this is what's going on in this area, and this is what's going on in this area. Now Trish is here, but now she's going back here, and she's been betrayed, but someone lied. And I feel like there's no good place to split it, and it should just be one movie.
Yeah, I feel like some fans would even prefer that it just wasn't a movie in general. But you know what? Like, you guys don't have to go and watch it. I am kind of, I mean, I'm pretty indifferent on Allegiant. I've talked about this before. So Shailene Woodley revealed when this came out that she and Theo James had been signed on for three sequels. So they already knew that if Divergent did well, this was probably going to happen. And I mean, you know, in a world of Mockingjay and Breaking Dawn and Deathly Hallows, like, no one was surprised that this was happening, especially because, you know, Divergent has been doing very well so far. So it's made $116 million in the United States already. So I think they're pretty pleased with that. And so far, the dates they have are Allegiant Part 1 will be 2016 March, and Allegiant Part 2 will be March 2017. So we've got a few years to wait.
The thing is, though, Divergent's doing well because the book is so good. Allegiant is not on par with Divergent, and so therefore I would expect it to make less.
Really? Do you think that there's that big of a drop in quality between those books, though? Because I don't feel
honestly,
that there is.
No, because here's my thing. I don't hate books. I love Mockingjay. Come at me, haters. But
we talk about this later.
I think Allegiant's a fine book. I just don't see why it has to be split into two, though.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. I mean, they want to make money. You can't begrudge them doing their jobs. So I think, Brittany was saying it's a bit difficult to know where we're going to split it. So there was an article published on Hyperbole by Danielle, who suggested three places where it could be split. So let's see what we think of these. So the first one is right after Truce and Tobias say goodbye for good. So that's depressing. She's calling this the Deathly Hallows split, in which, like, the first half will be lots of information and then the second half will be action. So what do you guys think of that? Could that work? I feel like that is too far into it already.
Agreed.
Yeah, and she brings up, like, a great point in her, like, why it wouldn't work section is a lot of fans are going to see, like, we all know the ending of Allegiant, I won't say it, but a lot of fans are going to see Trish and, like, Four, I still call them Four, together, and you're going to have a second movie with them not being together.
Yeah,
so why would you want to go to see part two?
Right, I would agree with that. I think, honestly, they're probably going to have to restructure this a little bit anyway. I can't see them having that much time in the movie with them being split up, because, like you said, it's just not really conducive to, like, a good watching experience for an audience member anyway. Because it's one thing to, like, read it in a book with their two different perspectives, and it's another thing to watch it in a film and be, like, jumping back and forth between the two. So maybe not that one. She's got another suggestion: the Harry Potter route after the blank slate intentions are revealed and the group decides to break into the weapons lab and save the city. So what do we think of this?
I really liked this one.
Yeah,
to be honest. Yeah, because I feel like I said earlier, like, there's going to be those, like, periods of drag, and that's what I picked up on when she was discussing this option. But I feel like the movies are definitely going to be uneven, just like Harry Potter was, where, like I said, you have camping and then you have, like, battle. So I think what I would have liked more in Harry Potter would have been this sort of style, where there's, like, action and then drag and then action and then a little bit more explanation. So I think that if we restructure, like, not us personally, but the writers, restructure the book a little bit and try to make a balance, I think that's, like, my go-to.
I mean,
audiences intrigued.
We can personally structure it if they want
to
give us a call. That's fine.
Yeah, we could rewrite it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Brittany. You know, the problem is, I think this was even referenced in the article, there's just not that much content. You would have two very short movies to get all of the scenes, even in Allegiant. But I'm thinking you could really develop some of the characters and some of the uprisings that kind of just had a dead stop in the book, and make mm-hmm. those more, like, bring more, I don't know, like, danger, like an element of danger to the world. I mean, there's already plenty, but why not add some more?
Yeah. Oh, no, I think you're definitely right. I mean, I think we're going to see kind of how this works with Mockingjay, because there is no way that there is enough content in that book for two movies, you know, especially that second film. Like, what is going to happen? No one knows. So, you know, I think fans will have to adjust to the idea of, like, if these are going to continue to be split, we're going to see the sort of Hobbit effect where things are added in. And in the case of these other movies, there isn't, like, a wealth of lore and other stories to draw on like there is with Tolkien's work. So we're going to see new things added in that, you know, may not be considered canon to fans. And I think really with any of these options, that is going to have to be part of it, because, like you said, there kind of just isn't enough happening in Allegiant for all of this stuff to make up two movies. So, mm-hmm. but I agree with you guys. I think mm-hmm. that second one is probably my favorite. So this is rare. We never get agreeance on book hype. This is great. You guys can stay. number three is Triss stopping the rebellion and being told that Tobias has been arrested. So, yeah, this one is sort of looking more at, like, Nita and her associates and what's going on with them. Yeah, again, I just feel like this will mean the films will be too uneven with the sort of divide of what is happening and with what the characters are doing, similarly to the first suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, well, this was the one that they kind of, like, gave the little disclaimer saying that this is the one where they think it's going to stop, because it does make sense. It's sort of, like, in the middle. It's, like, you, it sets you up to be like, oh, well, now Triss needs to figure out, like, what she's going to do, and, like, it kind of makes you want to go back and reread to make sure that you're on the same page, and, like, you kind of, like, can figure out where they're going to pick up from. But I, again, think it's, like, I agree with you, it's going to be too unbalanced if they stop it here.
Yeah, I think, yeah, this is probably the most likely, though. Let's see what people have said about it. There's a little poll at the end. So, let's see. 57% think when Triss is told that Tobias has been arrested. So, Danielle was very persuasive. And only 21% agree with us. So, we'll have to start voting a bit more in this. And then all of the comments are just nowhere, because nothing in Allegiant warrants a split in the first place. That's a great comment. And here's another good one. How about no? And then, yeah, there's just no one is a fan of this idea. So, I mean, I guess if you really like Divergent, I'm getting the sense that no one on this podcast is, like, a super crazy Divergent fan. Just generalizing for everyone. If you really like Divergent, I guess, you know, it's exciting because you get more content and you get to spend more time with these characters. And, I mean, I know Jen will be pleased when she comes back because there's more time with Theo James, and I'm not complaining about that either.
Oh, yeah, no, I am definitely not complaining about that at all.
I mean, maybe they should just have the first movie should be, like, the adaptation of Allegiant, and then the second movie should just be, like, Theo James just hanging out. Like, I don't even care what he's doing.
That's fine.
I mean, it could be his life post-Allegiant. It could be like
that. It could just be, like, working out, you know, taking a jog.
For, like, 90 moving. Minutes. Yeah. That would be fine with me. I was a much bigger fan of his than I thought I was going to be. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, like, one of the best things that came out of this was the Twitter reaction. Primarily, everyone thought that this was awful, although, you know, a couple people said it was good. Like, now I have 3 years to prepare my heart to be broken. I mean, that's a bit sad, but I guess whatever. But then there were all these people that were really concerned that they were going to be really old when Allegiant Part 2 came out. So, I mean, this is really sad, guys. Like, some of these fans are going to be 20 years old when this comes out.
So sad for them.
I know. This is awful. My favorite one, though, is the one that says, I think I might have different priorities when I'm 20. Like,
no, you won't.
that's just great. It's like, wow, it's basically like being an elderly person.
know.
I feel like that's what people said about, like, Harry Potter. But it's like, no, you're still going to be obsessed with Harry Potter.
Yeah, trust me.
Like, I still drew a dark mark on my arm when I went to the finale. Like, you know, it was a big moment.
You go, girl.
But I was thinking, like, with Fantastic Beasts, I was like, I'm going to, like, be bringing my kids, maybe, to the final midnight premiere.
Wow, that's planning ahead.
It's so, so far away. Well, thinking about it, I'm like, wow, if I'm not settled down by then, that's a long way off.
It's like, where will I be living when the last Fantastic Beasts movie comes out?
Yeah.
Actually, someone here has a really good point, which is Theo James will be 33 years old when Allegiant Part 2 comes out, playing an 18-year-old. I feel like that is the more salient point. Why aren't people talking about that?
That is very true.
So Divergent has become Glee.
Yep.
Good times. Yeah, so I mean, it's not surprising news, and obviously we will keep people updated as we learn more about what is happening. They're working on Insurgent right now, so that's exciting. Will you guys go and see? Did you like Divergent? I didn't even ask you.
I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I loved it.
Oh, that's good. So
I saw it more than once.
Oh, okay. So that is a good sign. So you'll be seeing Insurgent then?
Yeah, I'll definitely be seeing Insurgent. I really, really liked the book Divergent and Insurgent. I think I didn't like the switching perspectives as much as I was hoping to.
In Allegiant?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair criticism, I think.
Divergent on its own is one of my favorite books probably of all time. Probably like one of the top 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell us why.
I love the story.
Yeah, I devoured it. It was good.
Yeah, it's just like, it was something, I read it maybe like a year after Hunger Games, and there's just something about it that just captivated me about it so much more. Maybe because Divergent has like a whole scale. Like, you see the beginning, but you also see like the war, kind of. Whereas like with Hunger Games, it's just like that first bit, and then you have to read Catching Fire to get more action. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's just, I love Divergent. I'll reread it anytime I want.
Really? That is, I have not, okay. I understand that there are like big Divergent fans out there, but I've never like met one in real life. So this is an exciting moment
for me. Wild.
Ooh. Yeah, I've never like encountered a wild Divergent fan.
Because when you were like discussing saying like, oh, these Divergent fans, I understood you were talking about like the all three as a whole and as like a collective like package deal. But if you were to separate the books, Divergent is one of my favorite books. It was very good. I think I've read it more than once. I saw the movie twice. It was really good.
Okay. Well, this is good news. So, I mean, I have a sort of indifference to the Divergent series. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I don't think it's amazingly written, but I like what she was doing with it. I think I like the movie better than the book because, as I said, it's not a picture book. Theo James ain't in those pages. So that's like minus 1,000 points as far as I'm concerned. I think I will need to see that movie again because I've developed a little bit of a crush. Anyway, that's enough Divergent talk. I think we've got some more adaptations news, though. We saw the very first clip from The Fault in Our Stars, which premiered at the MTV Movie Awards. Have you guys checked this out?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so another quiz. Who is a huge Fault in Our Stars fan? I feel like you are both going to say yes.
Me. I sobbed.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. All right. So this is good. Okay. So see, listeners, I find people that have opinions that are different to mine, and then we can all be friends. We had Divergent fans, and now we have Fault in Our Stars fans. Not everyone can be negative like me. So what did you guys think? What was your sort of first reaction to this clip?
I didn't like it.
Oh, okay. So we
are completely honest.
I just made my big speech about how everyone was a fan and we were going to be super positive. No, I didn't like it. Sorry. All right.
Yeah. I think it was a bad first clip only because the second it was over, the first thing I said was, some things work on paper and do not translate well to screen.
Yes.
Like that scene in the book was so good to read and I loved it. And when I was watching Gus say those words, I was cringing. I was like, oh, no, please stop. Please stop. And I think it was my brother who said to me, he's like, come on, he's just trying to get the girl. And I'm like, it does. Please make it stop. I don't want to see this. Like, I'm very excited to see the rest of the movie. I just think it was a rough place for them to choose to release a clip from.
It's going to be hard to see this movie, I think, because I have these characters very well established in my head. Like, it's going to be hard to see it translate not as I've seen them. I know John Green is thoroughly behind the movie and all that stuff, but it's like books belong to their readers and all that stuff.
Yeah, so the clip was Ansel Elgort and Shailene Woodley as Hazel and Gus doing the It's a Metaphor clip. I think my favorite thing about this is like all of the posts that have been going around the internet. I don't know if you guys have seen any of them, but they're like pretty hilarious. We might have to link to some in the show notes that of people like just putting things in their mouth and being like, it's a metaphor. That's
Yeah.
great.
Yeah, I think John like reblogged one where a girl had like her Algebra 2 textbook between her teeth, and she's like, you can put like the thing to like
The killing
what however,
thing.
yeah, the killing thing in between your like teeth, but you don't give it the power to kill you, and it
Yeah.
was like an al her algebra book.
That's great. Yeah, I would agree with you guys. I think, I mean, my issue when I read the book was that I found it a bit pretentious, and I get that was the point. Like, don't get mad at me. I understand that these are two really pretentious kids. Well, Gus is at least at the start. And, yeah, I agree. Like, it just seemed so awkward when they were saying it out loud.
Yeah,
And
I
I
definitely
think,
liked it better in my head.
right. And I have to say, I feel like they both look the part really well, and I like the casting of them, but yeah, I'm slightly concerned about how like cringeworthy this whole thing is going to be. Although, everyone is saying that they loved it and it was so good, so not everyone agrees with us.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that they were going to, because I wanted them to like release a clip from towards the beginning of the movie, which they did, but I was hoping it would be like in the meeting.
That
Like
would be a
that's where
good
I
one.
was, that's where I thought that they were going to like try and get into it. But
Yeah.
that's okay. Can't have
Yeah,
it all.
I feel like that would have worked better because this is really like Gus at his most pretentious in the
Yeah.
entire book, I would say, arguably.
It's not a good clip for people who haven't read the book, because if you see the clip,
Exactly.
you're gonna think, wow, that guy's like a douchebag. Why would I want to see him fall in love with this girl who has cancer and stuff like
Yeah.
that?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that an eloquent way of putting it?
No, that's a
Yeah.
perfect way of putting it, I think. It's very alienating if you kind of don't understand what's happening. And even if you have read the book, it's still a bit alienating because you're like, this doesn't really work out loud.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a bit of trouble in terms of like the marketing of it. And even the actual film, I don't know how, I just don't know how well it's all going to translate. Because it is, all of the dialogue is so like heightened in this way, and it does come across as like acting, when you watch it, it's like, oh, they're acting, I get it. And yes, again, I know that's kind of the point, but I don't know how much that will be an enjoyable thing to watch. I don't know.
Yeah,
You guys are
right.
big fans. Are you excited about this? Did you like the trailer?
Yes, I like the
I
trailer.
Wait, who
I
cried in the
cry during
trailer?
the trailer every time. My friends are like, I'm not gonna see this movie with you, Christina. I'm not gonna be able to handle it.
You are so
Yeah,
embarrassing.
I've already told everyone I'm going to go see it by myself first at like the 10 a.m. screening, like where there's no one, like on a weekday, and sit in the back with some sunglasses on. But because I cry every time I read the book. It just gets to the point where like what as soon as Hazel goes to like the gas station, I'm a hot mess. So
Yes.
I think that, but I agree with what you two were saying, where I don't think the dialogue is going to transfer that well into a movie format. It's going to feel like they're like forcing themselves to read a book out loud as opposed to just like being in the moment.
Yeah, although maybe in the context of the whole film, it will be better because it will kind of explain itself a little more. I feel like something
Yeah.
like this taken out of context just makes it so much worse.
Exactly.
Yes,
But yeah,
agreed.
I'm very excited to see the movie.
Okay.
I'm still counting down.
All right, well, that's good. I have to say, one thing I'm really excited for is the soundtrack. Did you guys see the track listing for
Yes, I
this?
am so
Oh
excited for the
man, Ed
soundtrack.
Sheeran, Group Love, Birdie. This is so good. And there were two songs released. There was the Birdie song, and there was, what was the other one? Boom Clap. by Charlie. Is it Charlie XCX or is it like Roman numerals? Charlie, what would that be? 100? I'm really good at math.
I've never said her name aloud before.
Well, me either. That's why I'm asking a question.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. So, but the soundtrack looks amazing. It's going to be really depressing, though. It's going to be depressing as hell.
It's going to be like a good rainy day, I need a cup of tea and a good cry soundtrack.
I like that Ed Sheeran is just like making a career of writing like songs for film soundtracks at this point. And I hope he continues that because I love him.
Speaking of soundtracks and Divergent, I am still not over Divergent soundtrack. I think it's fantastic. I run to it every day.
I haven't even... What's on it apart from Ellie Goulding?
Well, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I think I can only name one song off of it.
When I came out of that movie, I did have a really strong urge to listen to some Ellie Goulding. So, like, that is some subliminal messaging that is working well. I just came out and was like, yep, Ellie Goulding.
I think she was a good pick.
Yeah, I think I was very skeptical of it going in, and I felt like it worked really well because, yeah, I didn't really notice it until, like I said, I came out and was struck by the subliminal advertising of it all. But that's cool. So there you go. There's a recommendation. It's your workout soundtrack.
Yes.
So you can listen to that, and then when the Fault in Our Stars soundtrack comes out, that'll be like your emotional breakdown soundtrack.
Yep.
And it'll all be great. We've got everything covered. So do you guys have anything else to say about Fault in Our Stars?
Nope. No? Start buying tissues when they're on sale.
Yeah, so it's the June 6th release, so we're going to start seeing a lot more. We're going to start seeing a lot more from it, and I think they're going to release a few clips. I get the feeling that's sort of where they're going with this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I would like to see some more clips of Shailene Woodley, because I like her a lot. And Nat Wolff as well. I think he's going to be really good. I'm excited for him. So we'll see how that goes. We had more. Oh, this is like adaptation cast. We had more adaptation news. The If I Stay movie trailer came out and I am so excited for this movie. Did anyone cry in this trailer, first of all? Because I did see some people on Twitter who were like crying about If I Stay.
Never read the book.
Yeah, me either.
Okay. But that's, I mean, you can still cry about it. It's not like a requirement.
Well,
did you guys check out the trailer?
Yes.
No, because I don't like Chloe Grace Moretz.
Oh, really?
I find her really obnoxious and I just don't like her.
All right, well, this is going to be a problem for you because it looks like she's the next YA girl. So she's going to be cast in Fifth Wave.
It's a struggle.
Jennifer Lawrence and Shailene Woodley are all booked up. So it looks like Chloe Grace Moretz is the go-to girl.
Oh, gosh.
I really like her in this trailer. I feel like you should give it a chance.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the trailer as, like, my first exposure to the book.
Yeah, so what did you think of it?
Or franchise.
Because you haven't read it.
Well, I didn't know what was going to happen because I literally knew absolutely nothing about it.
Okay, so it's a good test.
Yeah, so, like, I was very intrigued by the whole beginning with, like, the cello and, like, her, like, kind of, like, reevaluating everything. I was like, oh, okay, this is like a good thing. Then all of a sudden she's like watching her own body and I'm like, what is happening? So I don't know. I think it's very interesting. I would definitely like to read the book before I go see the movie. I feel like it's going to be one of those type of deals where I'm not just going to see the movie, but I'm definitely intrigued by it because I did not know that that's where it was going.
Okay, well, that's good. So did it kind of make sense to you when you were watching it?
Yeah. Like,
they were doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was, like, I watched it twice just to make sure. I'm like, wait, is she actually dead? Is she alive? Everyone's dead? I don't know who's alive.
Yeah.
But I definitely got it.
Okay.
The second time around.
All right, well, that's a good sign. So I loved this book. I would recommend that everyone reads this book. It is by Gail Forman, and it's just so beautiful, and, you know, like, it's not a spoiler because it's in the trailer, but it's about this girl, and she's in a car crash, and then all of her family is dead, like they say in the trailer, and she has to decide if she is going to, like, wake up and stay in the world, or if she's going to go and, like, be with her family, or, you know, whatever she thinks is going to happen. And it's just really interesting. It's sort of this, like, moral, philosophical kind of, I don't know, everything is just great. I think it is the kind of thing that if you read it first, you'll get a lot more out of it. And I think the casting is really, really good as well. So there's Chloe Moretz, she's the lead, and then there's Jamie Blackley, who is this sort of newcomer guy, although I think he was in one of those Snow White movies. I don't know which one, because they all came out at the same time. Yeah. And there's, like, all these newcomers. And like on the John Green's new project, he's going to be executive producer. Gail Forman, who's the author, was the executive producer on If I Stay. So I feel like that's always a good sign.
Yeah.
Just slightly encouraging for fans. Mm-hmm. So the kind of reaction to this...
I'll definitely be checking it out.
Yeah, I think the reaction to this has been, like, pretty good. The book is a little bit divisive. Not everyone loves it. I think you kind of need to be into the style or not. But, you know, I would definitely recommend it. So you can watch all of that on Hyperball, and we have an article about kind of our favorite moments in the trailer as well. That is coming out in August, 22nd of August. So there will definitely be some more, like, promo stuff for that coming out. That's really the first look we've had at it. Before that, we only had, like, one still. So, yeah, that's kind of it for this week's book hype. We're just doing a little mini show so that I didn't get lonely all by myself while everyone had adventures. We have some feedback from you guys, though. So, let's see. All right, so about the Allegiant split, we asked what you guys thought of it. Christina, do you want to read that first one?
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh gosh, how do you pronounce that Twitter handle?
I don't know. Let's just say Let.
Let?
Yep.
You have a lot of O's in your Twitter handle. Oh, so ordinary.
Oh, I get it. Okay. We all got it at the same time.
I was reading it like
very clever.
Yeah.
Okay. This person says, listening to Insurgent now. Don't know the Allegiant ending. Knew that was inevitable in the movie making world. And then a little kind of.
A little.
How do you, like, describe that face?
Apprehensive? So, like, disgruntled? Yeah. I don't know. That like backslash face where you look kind of perplexed about something.
Like, oh well.
Right. And then Jenny agreed and said, completely unnecessary about Allegiant. So. Yeah, I feel like that's sort of the general consensus. And then what else? Oh, and Shelley was just letting us know that she finished all of Vampire Academy in a week. And now I'm onto Bloodlines. This is terrible for my grad school work. So Jen and I totally feel your pain. Mikhail will soon be in on our grad school hype discussions. Are you guys Vampire Academy fans?
Yes. Wait, Marma, were you on the book hype episode that I was on?
Yes, you can. I forgot you came on before.
Yes. Okay. Oh. I finished all the books.
What did you think? Wait, you finished all Vampire Academy?
Yes.
Okay. Did you like them?
I did. It was pretty much exactly what I expected. I called the ending from, like, the first book, and Jen will vouch for me if she will.
If she will.
If she will. I'll probably start reading Bloodlines this summer because I am interested in continuing that story.
Okay, so there are four Bloodlines books out, and the new one, the fifth one, is coming out in, like, July or June, I think, this year.
Okay, I can do that before that.
Yeah, and then there's going to be another one, so there's going to be six all up for that series as well, I think. I remember you had some good theories when you were on that episode.
Yeah, that was fun.
You called it pretty well, but Jen and I were sitting there being like, we can't say what happens, especially because Karen was only, like, one book into the series. Karen has still not read Allegiant. Karen is so behind.
Karen.
She's like, so yesterday. Yeah, I know.
It's like she has, like, a real job or something.
I know. What a weirdo. Oh. Speaking of, so last episode, someone had sorted us into Hogwarts houses. And we asked that you guys would, like, I don't think it's sorted if it's not Hogwarts, but, like, assigned us to the Divergent factions. And I want to read them out, but I'll have to wait until some of the other hosts come back because they're just too funny. But if you go into the comments on our last podcast, episode 39, Free British Man, which is, like, the greatest title ever, there's a bit of discussion happening about which faction all the hosts should be in. So let me do a quick tally. So Kyle has one vote for factionless and one vote for Amity. I don't know if that's mean to put someone as factionless.
I know.
and then Michal has two votes for Erudite. Jen has one vote for Dauntless and one vote for Abnegation. I feel like Abnegation is a mean one as well because they're like the boring faction.
Oh, I would place myself in Abnegation.
I mean, I feel like if you put yourself in Abnegation, then you're not an Abnegation.
That's very true. That's a good point.
Yeah, ooh. Well, you see? You see?
Wow, mind blown.
and what else? Karen has one vote for Amity and one vote for Dauntless. All right, you need to expand on that a little bit more. And then I have, let me see, I have two votes for Candor. I'm not sure what that says about me, but thanks,
very
I guess.
Very honest.
Yeah, I guess yeah. So. Thanks, guys. So if you, like, agree or disagree with them, you can go ahead and write in the comments there. And then on the next episode, when everyone is back, we will go through some of them. I'm trying to think, are there any other, like, book series where you get assigned into a thing? I can't think of anything. I guess Game of Thrones. There are the houses. I mean, Hunger Games, the districts don't really do anything, though. It's not really like a personality quiz. Unless you're like, oh, yeah, I really like seafood, so I guess I'll be in District 4. I don't even know what the others do.
I'm like scanning my bookshelf, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
Location-wise, I would be in the water. I live on the coast, kind of. So I would be like,
I mean, all of Australia would be District 4 because we all live on the coast. I mean, most of us, no offense to people in the desert. Yeah, so that's kind of what is happening on Book Hype. And then, like we said before, we've got Half Bad coming up next week. That's our April book club book. And then if you want to be super prepared, we have We Were Liars by E. Lockhart. That is our May book.
I love that.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it's so good.
I basically bullied Jen into that being our next book because I just wanted to talk about it because I sent her like many a harassing Facebook message about how good it was. yeah, so that's our May book. So, you know, maybe you'll be invited back. We'll see. I don't think
don't
you
worry.
Like...
I'll keep up good appearances.
Yeah, I don't think you were like disagreed with me too much on this. So, I mean, I can always... I'll always take some support on this show. we'll see how we go. But yeah, so that's everything for Book Hype. So you can always find us on hyperboard.com. You can leave us comments or sort us into houses or divergent factions or whatever other book series you think of in the comments of the podcast post. And you can always find us on Twitter at Book Hype. We love hearing what you guys are up to and what you are reading as well. You can let us know. So until next week, I'm Marima.
I'm Christina.
I'm Brittany.
Oh, we were so close.
Aww, so close.
Yeah, we're just going to leave it like that. Okay, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.